FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. Russia has vetoed a UN resolution today, a move that abolishes the monitoring by UN experts of sanctions against North Korea over its nuclear program, though the sanctions themselves will remain in place. Now, Russia's vote today has prompted accusations that Moscow was acting to shield its weapons purchases from North Korea for use in its war against Ukraine. The Biden administration says it does want to meet soon with Israeli officials concerning potential military operations in Gaza. A spokesman says the U.S. and Israel are working to reschedule talks. In Rockford, Illinois, a 22-year-old man charged with four counts of first-degree murder. Police say the man stabbed a number of people, killing four and wounding at least seven others. This is SRN News.
Our government has engorged itself on borrowed money. Now we are over $30 trillion in debt. If this bubble finally implodes, many Americans would be left penniless and heartbroken. For example, what happens if state and federal pension funds go broke? Or 401ks and IRAs get cut in half due to hyperinflation. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnau, news analyst, best-selling author, and evangelical leader to millions of people just like you. People who understand something big is coming. Now's the time to prepare with a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. Precious metals are among the most proven hedges you can make. And they're even better inside a tax advantage account. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached, so just text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you are blessed with continued prosperity.
1819 News.
The chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall, has released a statement following the victory of a Democrat in North Alabama in the special election to House District 10. Wall says that national Democrats are trying to make the win by Maryland Lands a bellwether decision for the entire country. Wall maintains that this effort shows a complete lack of understanding of the political landscape, or he says it's an attempt to mislead voters. Wall says that special elections are very contingent on turnout and extremely hard to predict. In this case, Wall says the low voter turnout allowed for the Democratic Party to get lucky. He says this seat will be a targeted seat in the next regular election cycle. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
Are you enjoying 1819 News? If so, consider joining 1819 News as a member. As a nonprofit news organization, we depend on the support of Alabamians like you. Memberships start out as little as $5 a month, and you'll get access to exclusive content only offered to our members. You'll be supporting independent journalism done by people who cherish Alabama values. Become a member today by visiting 1819news.com and clicking Become a Member. That's 1819news.com and click Become a Member today.
A manhunt is underway in Trustville for two men who were part of an early morning pursuit with police. Drones and canine units are now being deployed to find the men. The chase first started in Springville, went through Argo, and then police placed tire deflation devices. It ended the chase in a wreck on Highway 11. The men then left the vehicle and ran into a wooded area. A manhunt in Carbon Hill has ended with the capture of Lonnie Tatum. The search for a murder suspect began after the shooting of 58-year-old Stanley Webb. Tatum was identified by police as the suspect in that shooting who fled the scene. He was caught on Wednesday afternoon by a canine unit that located Tatum hiding under a bed. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
In Alabama, more than 200,000 of our family members and friends are living without health coverage. Often folks can't stay healthy enough to keep their jobs. We need to fix this. It's time for us to find a way to close the health care coverage gap so that folks can remain in their jobs. Where there's a priority out there, we as Alabamians have always found a way to achieve it. Contact Governor Kay Ivey and let her know. Now is the time to close the coverage gap and cover Alabama.
Paid for by the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. Montgomery's conversational radio show. It's news and views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
After damning politicians uphill and downdale for many years, vagabonds, frauds, and scoundrels, I sometimes suspect that, like everyone else, I often expect too much of them.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Joey Clark. And as promised, we have on the phone line here Jeff Deist. Of course, he's the general counsel these days at Monetary Metals, former president of the Mises Institute, also chief of staff to Ron Paul while he was in Congress, and bylines all over the publicized world. Jeff, how are you this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Joey. I'm great.
Great to have you on. Now, I don't know if you heard me ranting before I hit my top of the hour break, but it's one issue I think you probably could explain better than I ever could, that the average person these days is having to chase yield, that they're having to invest in order to save, but isn't saving an investment? They should be different things, ideally. So what's going on here?
Yes, well, that's a good question. They are different things because investing, presumably in the old-fashioned sense of the word, involved a degree of risk. In other words, you took some of your money that you had saved originally that you were willing to possibly lose in order to get a nice return. And maybe you went out and bought, you know, an old-fashioned blue-chip stock like GE or IBM or something like that, and it went up for most of the time you held it. That's investing. Saving is just holding on to your money in generally what most people think of as in the bank. And so we used to think of those two things as different activities. Here's the problem, though, is that when the rate of interest you can get in the simple, safe savings-type account at your local bank, for instance, is lower than the rate of inflation, well, the money you put aside for a rainy day or to buy a house or buy a car or pay for your kids' college or maybe even retire, that's being chipped away at every day, sort of like treading water and having your head slip a little lower. So when that happens, when savings rates, simple savings rates, are below the real rate of inflation, which you and I think would believe is higher than they tell us.
Oh yeah.
Then you've got a problem, and so average people are forced to go out and invest in things. You know, who knows, Joey? Tesla stock or Bitcoin or whatever. And I've heard it characterized as they almost are required to go get a part-time job as you know, an investment speculator. Most people just aren't wired to do that.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there, when you look at publicly traded companies, obviously valuations have gone up. Like if you buy just, I guess, the S&P index, it's doing real well at the beginning of this year, kind of just tracking with growth in the money supply. Right. But only a few companies have really been gangbusters in growth. I think of like these big tech stocks. Is that generally true?
Well, it is. It's the 80-20 rule applies in so many things in life.
Mm.
The majority of the gains in whatever market you choose, the Russell 2000, the NYSE, the NASDAQ, the TSX up in Canada, any exchange you care to look at, you will find that, especially in the last 10 and 20 years, the vast majority of the increases in the overall market capitalization of that entire exchange is driven by a handful of high-flying stocks. Now, for a while, that was still called FANG stocks, the tech stocks. They've wilted a bit since COVID era, but Nvidia, for example, is one of the big players that has risen, you know, that has raised the market. It's really, you know, I'm not going to give it investment advice, but I would just say the average Joe, and I include myself in that when it comes to investing, the average Joe is going to have a real hard time picking stocks when full-time professionals who have algorithmic trading at their fingertips and work 70 hours a week still sometimes lose their shirts because they pick wrong.
Now, and you know, working at Monetary Metals, I want to bring up the topic of gold, but I want to do it in this angle here, Jeff. How much gold do you think the United States actually has, whether in Fort Knox or underground there in New York?
Well, a lot. We can't know the number, but it's orders of magnitude more than all other countries combined. I do think that's true. I mean, even if you look at the Germans, the French, and the Chinese, et cetera. But the other countries are gaining on us in terms of their central banks owning it or their treasuries owning it. But there's apparently some really fascinating tunnels underneath Wall Street that that I think you and I shall never see, Joey. But nonetheless, you know, the question becomes, if gold's not money, which central bankers and our modern politicians insist, and frankly, that's what the law is. You know, the law is that U.S. dollars issued by the Treasury, real or electronic, paper, electronic, that's currency, and fair enough. But if gold isn't money, then the question is, why do central banks and countries, national treasuries all around the world, seem to want to accumulate it? And that's what Ron Paul asked Ben Bernanke back in the day on Capitol Hill. And Ben Bernanke said, well, it's just tradition. and so Ron Paul said, well, why do they hold diamonds? Why don't they hold it? You know, there's all kinds of precious metals or other things they could hold. So I think you have to watch what people do. And I'm not a gold freak who thinks gold's going to go to $5,000 or it's going to return to, you know, there's going to be a gold standard, we're all going to be using gold again, or that there's going to be a hyperinflationary crash of the U.S. dollar. I don't think any of those things, at least in, let's say, the next 5 years. But what I do think is that there's a tail, what they call tail risk, in any, you know, in any graph, right, where there, well, on the extreme end, there's this risk if you look at the distribution of events. And I think the growing interest in gold and the rising gold price itself is just that, it may not be any more likely to have some sort of terrible economic crisis than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. But if we do have one, I think the severity of it is what people worry about. That's what we might call a tail risk. And it's that severity, it's that gee whiz factor that makes, you know, what we could call the mainstream investing or financial world of big banks and central banks, treasuries, you know, say, hey, we need more gold. So even while they're downplaying it in their public pronouncements, they're quietly buying it.
And again, folks, we're talking to Jeff Deist here on the phone. You know, that little song we came into, the actual lyrics of it, maybe I'll play the actual song one day. The refrain is, where's the liberty? Where's the liberty? Where's the liberty? And I'm wondering, what's the state of liberty in the United States? I know that's a very general question, but when you look at this system we live under, where the hell is the liberty?
Yeah, you wonder whether people value it, for one, and whether they value it enough to actually vote for it, in a sense, but also whether people agree on the definition. I fear that a lot of people would define that word very differently. You know, I would define it as the absence of government coercion in your life. You can pretty much go and live as you please if you're not harming others or defrauding them. But right. But for an awful lot of people in America, freedom or liberty, which is admittedly an abstraction, let's be fair, you know, that means all kinds of positive rights. I'm not really free if I have to worry about rent. I'm not really free if I have to pay for school. I'm not really free if I have to pay for medical care. I'm not really free if some people have billions and I only have 40,000. You know, whatever it might be, the idea of liberty has come, instead of meaning freedom from government, it's come to mean, in a lot of people's minds, you know, a certain baseline set of material circumstances. And the only way you can provide some people with that is at the expense of other people. And, you know, I'm definitely fearful for my kids, in the sense that I think we've lost some essential American characteristics that were certainly more robust just when I was younger.
Right, and I hope some of those on a practical level still exist if we start waking people up about it. Hey, your money is more controlling you. You're not exactly controlling or owning your money, and some just basic ideas out there. But I think you're right. When I look at the people running for office and what they're talking about, I mean, there are moments where I hear some liberty. For instance, let's go to RFK Jr. Often we've talked about him many a time. I know you've spent some time with him one-on-one, or you got to see him in person at some events. And yet, what do you think of this vice presidential pick by RFK?
Ooh, huge thumbs down, Joey. Two thumbs down.
Okay, well why? I was telling Jeff Poore yesterday that, yeah, a lot of the libertarians I know who liked RFK hate this pick. He was a little surprised by it. So why do you not like Nicole Shannon?
Well, she comes out of a very left-wing milieu of the Northern California, Silicon Valley tech world. She was married to Sergey Brin, who's one of the co-founders of Google, who I view as a pretty awful character. And, of course, all of her money comes from divorce, which is, makes her less sympathetic in my eyes when she goes and starts an investment fund. You know, it's a little easier than, when you get a big, huge divorce settlement. And then when you look at the particulars of what her investment fund has chosen to focus on, it's just this completely touchy-feely, pie-in-the-sky stuff about the environment and this and that. And so for lack of a better descriptor, I guess she's way to the left of RFK from what I can tell. And, not an impressive person in the self-made sense. Or accomplishment sense or intelligence sense or anything else. So, I mean, a lot of people were speculating. I mean, my gosh, with the frustration out there between the R's and the D's. I mean, Trump versus Biden round two. I mean, has there ever been a better opportunity to come in as an independent or third-party candidate? And that, there are all kinds of names. And, someone like Colonel McGregor and Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, there were so many people he could have chosen that went along with his theme of unifying people, of getting past this divisive rhetoric, of getting rid of this idea that Republicans and Democrats have to vanquish one another, being serious about debt and deficit, being more realistic about the reach of our foreign policy, doing something about entitlements. I mean, the nuts and bolts stuff where I think RFK could have really run a serious campaign, but unfortunately he's fallen.
Yeah, and that is unfortunate. He is still polling pretty well in battleground states, and it seems like people are asking who's he going to spoil, and it looks like for now, especially after this pick, the Democrats should be quite worried about it. But do you think this country could survive if it was thrown into a contested election, thrown into the House of Representatives?
Well, it's clear that the country as a whole no longer trusts or abides by the U.S. Supreme Court, that the majority of people view the Supreme Court as a political instrument. And if we're going to have that, frankly, I'd rather have it decided in the House where people understand it's a political instrument rather than feigning this idea that there is a third branch of government that checks the other two, which I don't think is true. And it's just that, let me just say, the rest of the country has come around to my longtime cynicism of the court. But how that would work, really comes down to whether the people as a whole would accept the outcome. I mean, it's rumored, and it's been written about in certain biographies, that in 1960, when Richard Nixon lost to JFK, there was a lot of, let's just say strange machinations in the Chicago area of Illinois that resulted, among other things, in JFK coming back and winning the state of Illinois in the Electoral College. And at the time, Nixon simply said to himself and to the people right around him, I can't contest this. It would damage the country too much. That sounds kind of quaint today, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and it's something we've talked about over and over again. The pretenses of our politics have been dropped, and what I worry about the most, Jeff, is like when everything has to be decided by politics, if you use force and fraud, you're just welcoming more force and fraud in return, and it's an ugly place, I think, where all that leads, and I don't necessarily see daylight. There are some moments where I just want to have fun, at least, as we're going down. Like, get Trump, get a camera crew, guerrilla style. I'm going into Fort Knox. We're going to see how much gold is it. Get out of the way. I'm the president. Like, at least let's have some fun with this
thing. Well, RFK had some of that feeling or vibe at the beginning of his campaign.
Right.
Is it, hey, you know, we can have fun. We can have a more youthful campaign, a more engaging campaign that's not, you know, we can bring black and white folks together. We can not, get past this R&D thing a little bit. And there was a lot of promise. I mean, whether you believe, you know, whether it was pie in the sky or not, just the idea that RFK could have run on a happy or unifying type rhetoric platform, regardless of the reality, was in and of itself almost such, like, hey, there's probably a huge constituency out there just for any kind of positive hope. And, you know, that's what he should have been tapping into, the idea that America is still light years ahead of a lot of the rest of the world in our, you know, economic fortune and other things. And so I really hate to think that we're just going to end up with Trump versus Biden, but that's the way it looks.
Yeah, it looks like that is indeed going to be the case. I still am holding out. My pet theory for last year has been these months leading up to the convention are probably the most dangerous for Biden if the Democrats are going to make a switch. But it doesn't. They might be stuck with the current lay of the chessboard.
Well, yes, they might. I mean, getting rid of him or having some 11th hour thing that avoids a real primary where someone like Gavin Newsom gets bruised, and just letting someone step in at the end and have Biden cite health problems. You know, we're getting into summer here soon, so it's going to be awfully hard to have him slip and fall on the ice. but I'm sure they can come up with something.
Well, you could go paddle boarding at Martha's Vineyard or something.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he's also good at falling off bikes.
Yeah. You ride that bike again.
So you never know. It's usually just a skinned elbow or something, but hey. Stranger things have happened, and I do think that the anti-Trump derangement is so strong that we can't discount what they would do to stop this guy. And that includes pull the rug out from under Biden if they sense he really is going to lose.
Well, on that happy note, I really always do appreciate the time, Jeff. If folks want to follow what you're writing about, thinking about, how can they do so?
Well, just follow me on Twitter at Jeff Deist. DEIST, all one word, or come over to monetary-metals, which is our website, if you're interested in the gold market.
Well, thank you, sir. We'll talk again soon.
All right, gentlemen.
Again, folks, hey, Jeff Deist, always great having him on. I've got his Twitter pulled up on the live stream here. And appreciate all the love on the X platform today. I really do. And if you want to join and watch the show, or just listen to us this way, you can go to Joey Clark Live on YouTube. Or you can go to at the Joey Clark on Twitter or the X platform. And, we're growing by the day. I'll put it that way. Still a humble little local talk show. Radio's still around?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. But still around. We're still here. Got to hit this break. But first, this part of the program brought to you by Bo Goodson and the Goodson Group. And they're at the Goodson Group. Bo and his team are ready to help you whether you're looking to buy or sell a home here in the River Region real estate market. You know, he's been helping folks do that for over 40 years, four plus decades of experience. And not only can they help you with buying and selling your property, they have management services available should you want to rent out your home. It's a great idea in the River Region, though, to manage it yourself. Unless you have some experience or somebody helping you, you need to go with the Goodson Group. It's a very reasonable fee, can still be a good performing asset for you. And then the crown jewel there is the Bo Goodson Real Estate School, one of the most highly acclaimed real estate programs in Alabama, because, well, folks have graduated and gone on to great success, whether as fully licensed realtors or as more knowledgeable private players. So check out the Goodson Group today. That's thegoodsongroup.com. Again, thegoodsongroup.com, or give them a call at 551-0225. Bo Goodson and the Goodson Group, great sponsor here of, well, News and Views in the Afternoon.
He may not know whether he's coming or going,
But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Truck Lines, where dump truck drivers are in demand. Wiley Sanders is on the grow. We need dump truck drivers now. Call 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. I think you're going to love the forecast for the next few days. Today, a little below normal. High temperature up to about 69, but a nice day. Mostly clear skies. Tonight, we'll fall to the mid-40s for the overnight low temperature. Good Friday is a good forecast with a high temperature in the low to mid-70s. Plenty of sunshine. I think we'll be in the upper 70s on Saturday. Near or above 80 on Easter Sunday with plenty of sunshine. Maybe even the mid-80s by the time Monday gets here. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
For the lowest prices around on flooring and DIY flooring installation supplies, Budget Floors & More is your new best friend. Luxury vinyl plank, carpet, ceramic tile, floor installation supplies, and more with prices lower than the big box stores. Budget Floors & More, Hunter Lane across from Del Rey to Publix.
Thompson Tractor is the go-to source for a complete range of the best equipment for your next construction project. Thompson Tractor also has the trusted parts and expert service you've come to expect for more than 65 years, all of which keeps your business up and running so you can focus on the work you do. And now is a great time to get the compact equipment you need, because right now, there's financing starting at 0% for 36 months on any Cat compact equipment, including skid steers and mini excavators. These machines don't sit around for long, but no worries. If it's not here, we can pull from one of our other 16 locations in Alabama and Northwest Florida. And hey, if you're not ready to buy, Thompson Rents is here, so you can rent what you need. So visit thompsontractor.com for all the details and for the location nearest you. Thompson Tractor and Thompson Rents. We're here for you.
Luxury car prices and payments have hit an all-time high. But at Lexus of Montgomery, we have every new Lexus model in stock with low APR financing to save you thousands. Right now, take advantage of as low as 3.99% APR financing on your favorite new Lexus. You don't have to pay more to get the luxury vehicle you want. Pay less at Lexus of Montgomery. You deserve to drive a Lexus from Lexus of Montgomery.
Financing up to 36 months is $29.52 per 1,000 financed with approved credit. Ends 4/1/24.
For too long, Alabama's statewide news companies have shamed us for our conservative Christian values. Alabama deserves a news company that cherishes our culture, a company that isn't bought and paid for by the powers that be. 1819 News is that company. Run by Alabamians for Alabamians, 1819 News celebrates what is good and beautiful about our state while exposing those who work against our values in secret. Just go to 1819news.com to learn more. Subscribe to our newsletter. That's 1819news.com.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Clark.
Welcome back. News and Views in the afternoon. You know, Eddie, let me ask you, should I reach out to some more, especially as we get closer to the election, some more, what could you call it, independent voices from the libertarian world? And I'll put it to you this way, folks. The libertarian world has folks that are definitely more culturally left-wing, mm-hmm. and folks that are definitely more culturally right-wing, and I could pull from all sorts. But there are a few names that come to mind that I think would be great on the program going forward because they can sort of call the political map from a little more independent, aloof position than somebody who's literally stomping for Trump or riding with Biden.
I get that.
And then I think we should have those folks on.
Why not?
Let's have the stupid partisans.
Why not?
Yeah.
Honestly, it makes for entertaining, especially with you and I. It makes for cheap, easy entertainment.
And we're very nice.
That's the thing. We're
very deferential.
And I think they expect something different from us. And usually when they leave, They're smiling, laughing. Mm-hmm. They had a good time. Mm-hmm. We're not jerks to nobody.
Well, some of them were kind of we mess with.
Well, once they get out of here and they realize, right. Oh.
Right. I didn't know y'all had cameras.
Yeah. That's right.
Corrupt ruling class. Hey, there was this great moment. I was talking the other day about Destiny. That YouTube or a Twitch streamer.
Oh,
gamer.
I thought you met a new girl.
Then he, no. Yeah, but it's a guy who, I think his real name's Steven, but he started going by Destiny.
Okay.
And then him and his wife are like open relationship. Hey, they got divorced.
Never
you don't think it ever works?
It never works, man. Yeah. I've known literally people personally.
It works maybe for a year.
Right. No, it's temporary. Yeah. But I've known people personally long-term. And it's just, it never works.
Yeah, I think that's just absurd.
Plus
yeah.
It gets the creeps when you're around them.
Right.
I mean, you just, you know, unless you're in that world.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. That happened to be downtown one time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was his name?
No, here's the deal. I don't even remember their names. Now, I was hanging out at Aviator, and there's like middle-aged black guy. Him and I started up a conversation. Yeah. I think we're talking about the Air Force Base and politics, and we're just having a good conversation. And then this couple, guy and gal, who looked in their 40s.
Okay.
I was like 25.
Long hair?
No.
Really?
No, they were kind of buttoned up.
I thought it was the long hair.
They were from Atlanta. And they like
kind of Montgomery to go slumming.
And all of a sudden, they're like, they're talking to me and this dude I just met, and they're like hanging out. And then apparently the dude I'm talking to knows Jerry Kaiser.
Okay.
And it's like, Jerry's over at Central. Let's go to the private area.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. I hadn't been there in a while, but... really cool stuff Kaiser's built downtown.
Yeah.
And then Jerry's like, y'all want to come up to my loft? And I'd been up there because I have buddies that live. The people I just visited in Boston lived in those lofts above
nice loft.
Alley Bar. Yeah, very nice. Though I dog sat for a weekend when they went out of town. I'm like, how do y'all sleep on a Saturday? Well, we'd usually just go down there,
right,
Jerry.
Downstairs. What are you talking
about? Right, you don't have to drive. We go up to Jerry's loft, and Jerry's just holding court. He's telling stories about, you know, like Morse D's and the birthday cakes and the who's who and all that stuff. He's telling old Montgomery stories. And at one point, as he's telling the stories, I can tell the woman from Atlanta is really bored.
Oh, boy.
And she leans over to me, and she goes, I thought we were coming up here to get messed up. And she didn't say messed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, man, like this is Montgomery. And as we leave... Cherry's place, and we get in the elevator. I'm getting a vibe from the couple. It's just me and the couple in the elevator. Like they're like, so what are you doing now? What are you doing next? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing later tonight? And then as the elevator doors open, there's my buddy Sean's, she's now his wife. Kat is right there. I'm like, oh, hey, Kat.
So glad to see you, Marie Joey.
Good to see you. See you two later. I'm not going to the Renaissance.
Did you let them buy you a drink?
No.
Good.
No.
And if it ever happened, do not let them bring you the drink.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, it's not just... The ladies, of course, have to watch out for that, but everybody needs to watch out for that.
I guess I wasn't a huge bar scene guy, and I think that was after I was in that realm. But I just never thought, man, we'll take this stuff and we'll go get us some chicks tonight by poisoning the drinks. And who thinks like this?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm from a different world.
No, I walked away going, I thought Jerry was a perfect gentleman. Like, he was cool. These other freaks from Atlanta. Like,
walked away going, I held myself together.
No, I was like, thank God I saw Kat. Like, you saved me. Gave me a perfect excuse. Wait, I'm going back upstairs with her. Y'all go. Y'all have a good time.
What if you hadn't seen Kat? What if
I don't know. Because I can be tricked. I've told you this before. I'm a little naive at times.
Naivete.
He's so sweet. Anyway, we got on this because I was going to bring up Destiny.
Yes.
This fella, he went toe-to-toe with Jordan Peterson.
Oh, really?
And there's this one clip that's now gone viral, where Jordan Peterson just goes off. Because one thing Destiny's been so dumb about lately is the COVID stuff.
Okay.
And he wants to go to the most absurd conspiracy thing about COVID and be like, that's what y'all were saying.
Okay.
And he's like, nobody said you had to get the vax. Like, what the hell are you talking about, man? And the pharmaceutical companies meant well. So in a second, we'll get to Jordan Peterson reacting to that sort of nonsense.
Yeah.
Actually, the 2-hour discussion is pretty great. But there are a few moments where sparks start to fly. But let's go to line one. You're on there. Who's this?
Hey, Joey. It's Patrick out of Montgomery. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Hey, Patrick.
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, man. You guys know every time you say that L word, you get me fired up, libertarian. You know?
Yeah, what's going on with the... I am one, but I'm not one. And what's going on, man?
Oh, here locally or nationally?
Just nationally.
Well, I guess nationally we have a few things going on. Operation Warhawk Removal is one of the big initiatives going on. It's basically kind of working with Republicans in some states, actually, and basically trying to primary out Warhawk Republicans and kind of shift the dynamic that way to a more anti-war, more isolationist foreign policy to get us out of all these uncongressional wars we've been getting into since World War II. Outside of that, obviously, as you know, we're running our presidential candidates. They've been doing debates and debates and debates all around at every Libertarian convention around the country. And I guess those are some of the big things. We've been working with, actually, the People's Party, which is, you would think that's antithetical to us, but we've made an issue coalition with them. We had a rally with them last year at Washington, D.C., called Rage Against the War Machine. And we plan to have another one with them this year. And that's kind of, I guess that's the very quick lay of the land of what we have going on.
Yeah, and I guess, how do you think leadership's doing? I know there's the big changeover with, I guess, what, Angela McCurdle, or if I'm saying her name right, taking over his chair. And I've seen her even, like, I saw her on the press reacting to the RFK pick. It seems like the leadership is, you know, there's always going to be fights within the party, but it seems pretty sound right now. I mean, what say you?
I tend to agree, Joey. We've definitely had a big change in leadership over the last 2 years. If you've noticed, or I'm sure you did, over the 2010s or so, the Libertarian Party was kind of skewing maybe a little bit more moderate, a little bit more milquetoast.
Yeah.
And we've really, over the past 2 years, with our new leadership at the national level and at the state levels across the country, really started to shift a little bit back to our roots and become those principled libertarians that Ron Paul calls us. He calls us the libertarian wing of the Libertarian Party. And that's what we're bringing back to the Libertarian Party in the state of Alabama and around the country.
Well, that's beautiful to behold, because I think I would sum up that era you're describing to be more moderate, of that moment on Morning Joe with Gary Johnson. What is Aleppo? And it's just like, Gary, I love you, man, but dadgum. It's just so many missed opportunities, I think, in these last few years to make inroads. But it's good to hear the Libertarian wing of the Libertarian Party is back in the saddle. And also, it's a weird time for coalitions, because I think we've got to credit Trump for breaking the traditional Republican Party. And ever since he did that, there have been opportunities for a lot of, for lack of a better word, strange bedfellows.
Oh, I agree. I mean, like I was just talking to you earlier, the People's Party, getting together with, you know, we're having an issue coalition with libertarians. We are pretty diametrically opposed to each other. If you know anything about them, they're kind of socialists, you know, and we definitely are hardcore against communism and socialism. But you can have issue coalitions with these people and, you know, advance your single issues. That's one of the big things I called before about Defend the Guard. I would love to work with some legislators here in Alabama to get the Defend the Guard Act passed here in Alabama. And that's going to take issue coalitions. You know, politics is a game of addition, and we got to learn to play that game a lot better than we have been. Like you talked about missed opportunity over the COVID regime era. I mean, we did a horrible job about not being aggressive enough with our messaging, very milquetoast messaging. And that's really what inspired this change, and why this change came about now, is because that milquetoast messaging then, we should have never been saying any of that at the national level. And yeah, so we're definitely excited about a lot of the changes. And yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, and I was going to say, it's a shame, because I can think of Jeff Dice was great in that moment. The other guy, even before, Jeffrey Tucker was great at Brownstone during that moment at COVID. Tom Woods was great. You had a lot of big libertarian voices out there who were fantastic on COVID and called it a lot earlier than I even noticed how bad it was going to be. And yet it didn't get picked up by the official party. And I don't know. I think let a thousand flowers bloom, not, I guess, to use a Chinese reference, but the more we can find ways to get together and actually solve things for the country, the better. Because right now, I think the common denominator with so many folks, unless you're in the establishment, you see the establishment as the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And really part of that, Joey, at least for me personally, I think that a lot of times, especially as libertarians, kind of on the outside looking in, as you described earlier, we really kind of picture we're fighting the boogeyman. We gotta to make a Lord of the Rings reference, we got to charge into Mordor, and we see them as Mordor, and we see everybody in there as swamp people. But you really got to realize we have friends in there. There's good people here. And you got to find issues that you agree on, focus on your common ground, not your differences, and work together to bring about liberty in our lifetime. And that's the goal.
Well, I appreciate the call, Patrick. Really do.
Thank you, Joey. You have a good one.
You too. 272-9228. Why are you smirking?
Nothing. All is good.
You can't stand one Lord of the Rings reference without going nerd in your head.
What are you doing in my head? What are you doing in my head?
I can see just from your face. I've been seeing your face for years now. I just needed a look, and I know Eddie's over there like, oh, I'm going to give him a wet willy.
Speaking of that, because we're on YouTube, I do got to do better with the face. Because apparently when we're talking or we have guests in here or we're watching clips, apparently I'm a bit too facial, and I give away...
That's hilarious.
My expression's a little bit...
It's awesome. It's fantastic. In fact, dare you say you're captivating.
Yeah.
So
people started pointing that kind of things out to me. Yeah. And I don't appreciate it. I got to be honest.
So before we hit this break, I do want to try to go to this clip here because this is one of those moments where, you know how Jordan Peterson gets worked up?
Yes. He almost cries. It makes me nervous.
Well, it's not one it's not an emotional thing.
Oh, he's
it's
mad.
More like the malevolence. So let's listen in together.
But the other obviously glaring possibility is that injecting billions of people with a vaccine that was not tested by any stretch of the imagination with the thoroughness that it should have before it was forced upon people also might be a contributing factor. Partly because we know that it led to a rise in myocarditis among young men. Right. And we also know that there was absolutely no reason whatsoever to ever recommend that vaccine was delivered to young children, so whose risk of death at COVID was so close to zero that it might as well have been zero.
When you're talking about a disease, the risk of death isn't the only thing that you worry about for the disease.
So you're
going to
talk about transmission?
Transmission.
It didn't do anything to transmission.
Absolutely did, because it decreased your chance of getting infected. It didn't destroy, it didn't get rid of transmission, but it reduced transmission.
Yeah, but it was claimed that it would get rid of
only
transmission.
Only if you take one reading of one single quote, I think that Biden said one time where he said, no, come on. Biden one Jesus time on the news Christ. Says, if you get the vaccine, you won't transmit
the
disease.
So silly.
Which was it? No.
Do you know that our prime minister in Canada deprived Canadians of the right to travel for 6 months because the unvaccinated were going to transmit COVID with more likelihood than the vaccinated? So this wasn't one bloody statement.
What I'm saying is there wasn't a statement given that if you get vaccinated, there is a 0% chance of transmitting the disease. The idea is that vaccines were supposed to help because it reduces your hospitalization, it reduces death, and it reduces transmission, hopefully by making it so that people don't get sick or don't get sick for as long. All three of those things, the vaccines did exceedingly well. They were tested. The myocarditis rates are like 7 out of 100,000 injections, and the myocarditis is generally acute, and it's generally not as bad as even getting the coronavirus itself, which will lead you also
it's
to having
much worse
over.
Side effect than side effects that have caused other vaccines to be taken off the market before.
That so a but 7 it, out of 100,000 rate of acute myocarditis or pericarditis is not a worse side effect than any other vaccine. I think that is a completely acceptable, given that the disease itself is more likely to cause myocarditis or pericarditis.
Yes, I don't think the data suggests to support that presupposition anymore. The latest peer-reviewed study showed that that's simply not true, especially among young men. I told you at the beginning of this conversation that the progressive leftists were on the side of the pharmaceutical companies.
It's not about being on the side of the pharmaceutical companies. It's about...
Really?
What I see
as the unholy part of that alliance with the pharmaceutical companies is that it dovetails with the radical utopians' willingness to use power to impose their utopian vision.
Well, then what do you
make
of the fact
that... Otherwise, how would you explain it? Because the leftists should have been the ones that were most skeptical about the bloody pharmaceutical companies. And they jumped on the vaccine bandwagon in exactly the same way that you're doing right
pharmaceutical
now.
Pharmaceutical companies have helped us tremendously.
Yeah,
throughout the
right. There we go. Fine. No, I don't think so. No, I don't think
you're
so.
You're just wrong.
I think they're
you're
utterly
wrong.
I see. So you don't think that the pharmaceutical companies who dominate the advertising landscape with 75% of the funding are corrupt?
I don't... Corrupt is a
corrupt.
Very broad...
No, it's...
Do you think that pharmaceutical
with a tinge of malevolence,
do you think
willing to extract money out of people by putting their health on the line?
Do you think that we get effective drugs from pharmaceutical companies?
Not particularly.
I told you I got a little worked up.
I really have all the love in the world for that man, because I don't have the patience to have, and you know, I don't have the patience to have conversations like that. Right. I usually make it about three sentences in before I either have to leave or I continue to explain my point to you as I beat you to death.
Right, right.
I wish I had the patience of that guy. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, but, takes a special type.
Did he finish his re-education yet, by the way? Peterson?
Yeah, I think that's still ongoing.
Is it really literally making...
Yeah, but he's probably just going to say, screw it, I don't need a license, I'm making more money doing other things.
I would think so, but I saw the other day it was scheduled, and I really wondered, is he showing up, is he really doing this? Because I would think he would do it, if nothing else, as a protest.
Well, we got to hit a break. Just wanted to share that because, the debate continues, even around the COVID era.
Oh, even our governor had a thought or two about the vaccine, didn't she, Joey?
Oh, yeah, I remember that moment.
Yeah, me too.
That's why she's not allowed to go do random press pulls anymore. And there I miss it. This is part of the program, again, brought to you by Dylan Rings. And they're at Dylan Rings. Well, Josh and Leslie Wright are ready to help you in all sorts of aspects when it comes to your jewelry. They are a full-service jewelry market. Now, it could be you're looking to buy some high-end pieces. They got that there at Dylan Rings in this brand-new remodeled showroom.
Beautiful showroom, Joey.
It looks amazing. Great job, guys. Like, if the showroom suggests their vision for, like, designing jewelry and making you look right, the showroom speaks volumes. It looks incredible.
Definitely.
Great remodel, guys. 119 Brown Springs Road, if you want to just go see it for yourself. But it could be you want to buy high-end or maybe everyday jewelry that isn't going to break the bank but still looks great. Could be you want to get a repair done, including watch repairs or just reset a stone.
Right.
Or it could be a spa treatment to clean your jewelry.
Could be.
And right now, custom design is all the rage. So it could be you inherit a piece that you want to change a little bit so it's a little more modern taste, but you still keep the true spirit of the piece you inherited. Well, Josh Ryder can do that. Maybe you had a dream that I want this particular ring or necklace. Josh Ryder can make it a reality. Maybe you want to combine two pieces of jewelry. And it could be for a fun event, like some funky fresh medallions. Ooh. We still need to do that.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Or maybe you want to, for poignant reasons, maybe you lost somebody you really love, you want to commemorate them in jewelry. Josh Ryder has helped people of all types have that custom design done. You can go to Facebook or the Instagram and see that, this is the work he could do. It really is amazing. He's a true artist. So check out Dylan Rings today. Again, 119 Brown Springs Road. And be sure to tell him that Joey and Eddie from News and Views in the Afternoon sent you.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Ahoy there, landlubbers! Is your stomach yearning for some great seafood? Or maybe it's a meat and three you're craving? So set sail for Little Fish Tail Seafood Bar and Grill, the undisputed champion of deliciousness in Lake Jordan and Slapout. We're talking great food, fantastic drinks, and fabulous music. They're like pirates with spices, creating flavor combinations that'll make your taste buds do a jig. Go see them on Lightwood Road or call 543-4561. Don't forget a free grab bag for the little ones.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Earnest Financial.
If you're tired of losing your money in the stock market, call David Earnest, 334-279-7431. Earnest Financial, LLC.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Oh, hi, everybody. This is Rich Thomas. It's clear sailing for the next several days, and that takes us right on through the Easter weekend. For tonight, mostly clear skies, a little cool, overnight low temperature in the mid to upper 40s. Tomorrow, on Good Friday, a good forecast with a high temperature in the low to mid 70s, plenty of sunshine. We'll be in the upper 70s on Saturday, near or above 80 on Easter Sunday with plenty of sunshine, and maybe even mid 80s by the time Monday gets here. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
John Bobo with Capital Tractor. Spring is time for clearing and cleaning. Time to clean out your shed, too. Let go of old, outdated equipment holding you back and visit Capital Tractor to see your property's full potential. Powering Alabama, Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
At Guardian Credit Union, we believe that banking should be personal, just like the relationships we build with members. Imagine a place where you're not just a credit score, but a valued part of our community. At Guardian, our dedicated team takes the time to listen, understand, and teach tailor financial solutions that fit your unique needs. From buying a car to saving for college and even starting a small business, we've got you covered. Come experience the Guardian difference and let's achieve your financial goals together. Guardian Credit Union, where you belong. Federally insured by NCUA.
Lewis at the Capital Oyster Bar, and I just want to tell you, if you're in business or got an event coming up and want to do some advertising, wisely spent dollars are spent down here at Blue Water Broadcasting. All the guys are nice, easy to work with, and I see results, I guarantee you.
Now you can add the power of digital advertising to the number one reach of radio. Let Blue Water's 20 years of local advertising and marketing success show you how. Grow your business with a complete suite of digital solutions, combined with the reach of the most listened to radio group in the River Region. Call us or go to BlueWaterBroadcasting.com to find out how we can increase your return on investment. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
Hey folks, this is Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center, and did you know there's all kind of dogs that we can feed, like Sleepy dog, hot dog, creek dog, swimming dog, hunting dog, shaggy dog, lap dog, window dog, riding dog, hiding dogs, puppy dog, standing dog, hat dog, cozy dog, family dog, even a dancing dog, man. So come see us at 1154 South Memorial Drive in Prattville, and we can even feed your kitty cat, too.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the afternoon. I'm Joey. He's Eddie.
Hey, buddy.
And so, Ray Bowles is on vacation.
Yeah. Skiing night.
But Prattville Carpet is still the place to go, and it's in good hands, folks. They're ready to help you out. They're ready right now to help you out.
Oh, yeah.
Just call them at 285-8117, and what they'll do is they'll literally go the extra mile to come to you and get a free in-home measurement.
That's right.
That way they'll understand the exact dimensions of what they're resurfacing, and once you pick out a product, they'll even bring samples to
they
you.
They sure do, Joey.
So whether you're going with carpet, traditional hardwood, that luxury vinyl plank that looks like correct hardwood, but it's a little more forgiving, and I mean like it feels softer, but also if you spill something on it, it's not quite as bad as traditional hardwood. Or the new laminate products. Don't be thinking really about good, like man. 90s laminate.
Not at all.
No. These are really high quality products there at Prattville Carpet.
They can do ceramic backsplashes.
Oh, yeah, with bathroom or kitchen remodels.
Beautiful, beautiful.
They've seen their really work. They really do it all. They sell floors there. They sell, resurface jobs galore. Again, that number, 285-8117. That's 285-8117. Or you can always stop by 2201 Copsford Road right there in Prattville. And be sure to tell those fellas that Joey and Eddie from News and Views in the Afternoon sent you. Now, speaking of keeping your composure.
Yeah.
Do you think you could ever survive going on The View?
Nope.
No?
I can't even watch a stupid thing.
Well,
and I used to. What's sad is I used to, back in the day, a fan of Whoopi.
Well, here's the deal. One of my favorite young writers and thinkers, the kid is brilliant, Coleman Hughes, went on.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman's been all about, can we not have a colorblind society?
Okay.
And he understands all the retorts that might come from activists on the left or from the black community. But
do we really have that now?
But his point is, no, the more you emphasize race as the most important or one of the most important things of your life, it's going to create all sorts of wicked problems that spiral out of control. Yep. So he went to try to make the case on The View. Let's listen in while we got time still.
Poor guy.
That I should ask you to do is explain to folks what you mean by this. Arguments for a colorblind America. What do you mean when you say that?
So a lot of people equate colorblindness to I don't see race or to pretending not to see race. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big mistake. We all see race, right? And we're all capable of being racially biased, so we should all be self-aware to that possibility. My argument is not for that. My argument is that we should try our very best to treat people without regard to race, both in our personal lives and our public policy.
Of course.
And the reason I wrote this book, thank you.
See, they say of course there, but then they start pushing
back. The reason I wrote this book is because in the past 10 years, it has become very popular to, in the name of anti-racism, teach a kind of philosophy to our children and in general that says your race is everything, right? And I think that is the wrong way to fight racism, and that's why I wrote this book at this time.
I'm sorry, baby. Yeah. Can I just point out that there is a reason for that? You know, when I went to school, getting any information about anyone's race was not taught. No history, there was no black history. None of those things were taught. And here in America, 100 years ago when I was a young woman, that's how people saw you. That's how they judged you. So I think, I don't want to say it's your youth, but I think you have a point, but I think you have to also take into consideration what people have lived through in order to understand why there has been such a pointing of very specific racial things, like women couldn't go to get into colleges. If you are a black person, there are a lot of colleges wouldn't accept you. Mm-hmm. Trying to equal the playing field. I think that's what a lot of folks have been trying to do. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I think that's your experience, and that's valid. You know, as a counterpoint, when I was in fifth grade, we all watched Roots together in public school.
Yeah.
So these are different experiences. I think it's also different generations. Mm-hmm. It's different parts of the country, right? We have very different cultures all living together in one country. So I'm not going to deny that. But I think I view this notion of a colorblind society similar to the idea of a peaceful society, which is to say it's an ideal. It's a North Star. Mm-hmm. And the point is not that we're ever going to get there. We're not going to touch it. But we have to know when we're going forward and when we're going backwards. And we're going backwards when we're doing woke kindergarten in San Francisco, with you didn't hear about this story?
No,
you believe that public policies that address socioeconomic differences would be better at benefiting disadvantaged groups, and that race-based policies often hurt the very people they're trying to help. What are some examples of policies that would be better at reducing racial disparities?
So my overall argument is that class, socioeconomics, is a better proxy for disadvantage. We all want to help the disadvantaged, and the question is, how do we identify them, right? The default right now in a lot of areas of policy is to use, you know, black and Hispanic identity as a proxy for disadvantage, and my argument is that you actually get a better picture of who needs help by looking at socioeconomics and income. Mm-hmm. That picks out people in a more accurate way.
Well, and they continue to push back, and Coleman continues to keep his composure there. And I thought, I find, because I've listened to hours and hours and hours of him at this point, and I find him not only to be thoughtful and reasonable, but insightful. Like, he's saying things in a way that is not always easy to come by for folks. And I think he's 100% right about the generational aspect.
100%, yeah.
100% right about it. But let's go to Ken Mullinax. Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Hey guys, I'm doing well. Happy pre-holiday, and I wanted to say, Joey, I think it was good what you just put on. I'm in the car picking up lunch, going back to work, but here we are on the cusp of the Easter holiday, and we have all kind of. I think all of us, regardless of religion, but especially those of us who are Christians and practice Judaism, know how important it is not to interject race and not to interject personality. When I was with the Congress, I'm a Democrat. Sure. I got along and were good friends with lots of Republicans because we disagreed, but we did it without talking bad about somebody's wife or mother or that they were too old or too stupid. We talked about the issues. And if we stick to the issues and not talk about personalities, be it race or whatever, we're doing what God wants us to do. And here on the verge of Good Friday, I wanted to mention that to you because I think that's so important.
Well, I think that's a fantastic point. Well done, Ken. I got to run. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ken.
Bye-bye.
272-9228. But then we also, you know, but people are like, have you seen Twitter?
Hoofka.
Have you seen the political scene? Fighting fire with fire.